This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some. See where
I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm a little rusty. Do I remember how to do this? Yeah. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me today, Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Marty Sliva, Brian Altano. We've got just a fantastic show for you planned. We went to this show called E3 last week.
Yeah. Oh, well. Not all of
well,
us.
Well, 3/4 of us.
We were there. You were there, too, in spirit. Also, yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Justin had a baby. He's a dad now.
Fancy dad.
I had the baby.
Yep.
It's a miracle that I'm on my feet and upright.
Yep.
But Justin, what did you do while we were all gone on E3? You did what we always tell people to do. You kept it locked, the IGN.
Yeah, you did.
I did, actually. It was an interesting, you know, when you're in the middle of it, you don't know what it feels like out in the world. And I got to experience E3 the way that other people do, just watching the live show and stuff. And
how'd we do? Also with a week-old human being on your left.
Yeah. It was actually awesome. IGN did a great job. I feel like I can say that objectively. I've gone to E3 11 years in a row. It's my first year not going. And so I was really worried about it. I'm like, oh, I'm sad. I'm not there. I'm going to miss stuff. But it's awesome watching the press conferences on IGN. Then the analysis afterwards is really good. Your camo jacket was really good.
Thanks.
I couldn't even see you during the whole thing.
I know. It's just a floating head.
Urban camouflage.
And
pants. We want to talk about E3. But first.
Presents?
Yeah, we got a package sent to us.
Is it Anthrax?
From Fan.
Whoa.
Hold on. From a fan by the name of Phil.
I've enclosed a gift box
full of my brand of sunglasses. Jump sunglasses.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Feel free to distribute them amongst the crew as a thanks for all the good listenings. Keep up the good work. It's the only thing that keeps me sane on long drives.
Whoa. Oh, I like that.
So let's pick a pair of sunglasses. I like this blue one.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
I'll take the white or the clear ones.
Take red.
These look white.
Pretty cool. Oh yeah, where can people go?
Those are clear.
You are sure you don't want these?
Yeah, no, that is clear.
You want those. Jumps.
Jumpsunglasses.com, when they're from. Oh yeah.
I love these.
I already have glasses, so this is gonna be weird. Now I have two glasses.
Check yourself out in the confidence monitor. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Marty, you're gonna have to do the thing where you're like, what? What?
What do you guys said something that's so preposterous that I have to take both pairs of glasses off? Thanks, Phil.
All right. Yes, thank you, Phil. Now we'll see how long we can last like this.
I cannot last any, because I already have glasses.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll just put it up here. Let's do that. E3, last week, one of our fans, Caleb, writes in. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Like Caleb did, he says, this year E3 was a blast with all the new reveals and content. Last year, I remember most of the editors at IGN stated that E3 2013 was a good E3, with the reveal of many Xbox One and PS4 IPs.
Lips.
Intellectual properties. But E3 2004 would be the best E3 because we would see more of these games and be shown even more IPs. Kayla's really into IPs.
Yeah.
Did you think that this E3 topped last year's? And if so, is it the best E3 so far?
I think this year definitely topped last year. I think last year was exciting because of the consoles. I think that's primarily what made last year exciting. Having Microsoft come out and sort of set the bar for where the Xbox One was going to be, and then Sony coming out and just punching them right in the gut and setting the bar even higher for PS4, that was great.
Setting the bar on fire.
And that got violent, yeah. But then this year was just all about games, which I loved.
Yeah.
Microsoft's conference was 90 minutes of games. Sony's conference was mostly games, except for a terrible...
I really think that was a lot of the... Like, last year, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors about where these things were going to go and this sort of battle between the two big companies. But there wasn't really much about the substance. It was like going back and watching, like, your favorite episodes of Breaking Bad or something. Yeah. When, like, a character gets killed off, there's a big action scene. It's like, that's amazing. But when you really rewatch the show and think about it, you're like, it's the scripting and the great character dialogue and writing that last the longest with me. And last year kind of felt like it was sort of like, hey, watch the flashy stuff, watch the arguments between, you know, used games and price points and stuff like that. And this was just like, here's a ton of games.
Yeah.
And that's what I care about for the most part. So this was one of my favorite E3s because of that.
Yeah. I'm super glad that next gen is here, next gen is now current gen. We're right in the middle of it and developers are just like really getting deep into, they've been working on these projects long enough that they can finally start showing them off or talking about them, you know, revealing the work that they've been doing for the last couple of years. Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of it's not coming out till 2015.
At least.
That was the running joke
that's what
of E3 coming in 2015. Yeah.
We're actually going to talk about that here in a couple minutes. I do want to point out that I thought last year's E3 was very, very exciting. There's nothing quite like, you know, launching new consoles.
Definitely.
Unveiling new consoles, finding out, launch dates, price, what the features are, and then seeing games on these new consoles for the first time. There's nothing quite like that. Yeah. So I don't know which E3 this year or last year was more exciting for me.
Walking out of it, like when I look at the list now of games, over the next 18 to 24 months that I'm going to want to buy. There you go. You finally threw in the towel there. Threw in the glasses. When I look at the list of games I want to buy in the next 2 years, it is staggering. Like, my wallet is just in absolute tears. You can't buy any of them because now you have a human.
No, I mean, I'll buy them all but not play them. That's what dads do. it was awesome. I agree with you about 2013, though. That Sony press conference, and we've talked about it on GameScoop before, but it's one of the most memorable E3 moments probably ever. Because, again, I've been to 11, and I can count maybe like five incredible E3 moments, and that's one of them. Another one, Sony E3 2006, when their press conference was a debacle. The giant enemy crab, $599, and like everyone walked out of... I actually went to that conference physically, and like, we're just all walking out of the room like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, you knew that it was a disaster, and you knew it was terrible. Like, that sounds out as a memorable moment.
They've gotten better over the years.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. I also think it was cool that, you know, no matter what console you have, that I feel like everyone showed up and showed a lot of really cool games.
Yeah,
I
mean, that was
Nintendo's
great.
Digital
Even
event.
Nintendo in their own way.
Yeah, absolutely. They showed a lot of really cool just reinventions of old franchises, and Nintendo, along with that Zelda trailer, which just...
I'm a journalist. I think someone from Polygon or Kotaku tweeted out, Nintendo wins the award for the most games I actually want to play.
That's good.
And I thought, and I'm like, yeah, I totally am on board with
that. Yeah.
Like,
you bought a Wii U?
I did. After the Nintendo conference, I turned around and bought a Wii U that same day. Yeah.
Which was interesting because I think, like, numbers-wise, they had the least amount of games at their conference. Yeah. But it's the most amount of ones that you know are just, they're going to end up kind of high quality.
I was keeping track. Microsoft and Sony were about neck and neck. Microsoft showed 20 games, and I think Sony showed 19.
Yeah.
And that's not counting sizzle reels.
It was. I don't know. I remember a few years ago we started hearing about these Nintendo digital events and like how there wouldn't be an audience and like you would lose the impact of all that. And I think that's kind of the way to go now. Like, I don't
think
know.
They all should do that.
I think they all should do that because I think that like you lose that sort of awkwardness of the stage shows. You lose the like the mics clipping out and the lights breaking and like that 10 seconds of pause when there's like one trailer's not queued up for the other thing. It's like if our point is to see the people making games talk about how great these games are and then showing us what these games look like, then there's no better way to do that than the digital event. Like,
sure. I mean, it's kind of, what benefit is there to being live?
Right.
There's only kind of potential for things to go wrong.
Yeah, that's it. And I feel like we're doing it only because it's been there for so long, but it's a very antiquated, like, content delivery device is to get up and go, we're doing this hour-long press conference live, and we've got back-to-back guests, and like coming up next is blah, blah, blah. Like, why?
The benefit is also the honesty of like getting up there and demoing.
Playing. There's no smoke and mirrors there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't know.
But that's the opposite of that, though, is I feel like Nintendo had the least amount of smoke and mirrors, because they had like just CG trailers. Yeah. They were just like, here's what our games look like being played. And how they followed that up with 3 days of Treehouse stuff.
That was cool.
That's the kind of like, straightforward style of
Nintendo's approach now is much more than just the digital event. You have the Treehouse stuff, you had, you know, so the event was Tuesday morning, and then you're like, oh man, there's a new Zelda, there's a new Kirby, there's a new Yoshi. And then all of a sudden Tuesday night it's like, oh man, Pac-Man's in Smash. And then
we're Wednesday, having a Smash Brothers tournament.
Yeah, and then
we're
Wednesday it's like Project Steam is this new game. Yeah. Like, they kept the momentum rolling all through the show, whereas Sony and Microsoft, you know, it was great to get hands-on with the games throughout the week, but sort of after their Monday conferences, it was like, all right, well, that's everything.
Reggie came on our live show and said that, actually, right? He was like, the E3's not a race, it's like, a sprint or whatever. He's like, we have stuff for every single day. So
there's always a rumor that Nintendo's going to have like a Thursday surprise. Mm-hmm. I've been talking about that at E3 every year, forever, and then they kind of actually finally did it this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I did my best to keep up with E3 when I was at home with my daughter, but really all you need to pay attention to is Monday. After those press conferences are over, like, I want to read the hands-on impression of, like, Mortal Kombat and a couple games. But for the most part, the show, like, it's kind of, like, it really is a big spike right at the front. Sure. And then it tails off.
I thought they did it well this year, how Tuesday morning they're like, here's our press conference, here's Smash Brothers, go to Best Buy and play it right now.
Yeah.
Like, and that's for everybody. Like, that, you know, stuff like that's pretty interesting. So I think they're experimenting with new ways to deliver that message, and I think it's working.
Nintendo stuff was so rock solid. Like, from an analyst perspective, like, is it going to sell? I don't know. But from, like, a game fan perspective, like I said, they showed every single game that they showed. I'm like, I want to play that. I want to play that. Yep. I want to play that.
Splatoon?
Yeah, even Splatoon I thought looked cool.
You could
I know some people, you guys play, like, I didn't have the advantage of playing it. And so I don't have like that, but like...
You didn't have the disadvantage.
Right, I heard you guys went too wild.
I was not. No.
But I just thought it was a really cool idea.
Sure, cool concept.
I want Amiibos.
Yeah.
I want a whole lot of Amiibos. Is it like
I believe Amiibo, it's like anime. It's not animes.
Mm. I've been saying animes for years.
You seem like the kind
I never talk about
it. You seem like the kind of guy who would say animes for years.
Okay, now Destiny was shown at the Sony press conference. Mm-hmm. It's coming out soon. That game and PlayStation have been very closely aligned in all the marketing, even though it's coming to Xbox One as well. Another one of our listeners writes in with this question. Ryan says, hey guys, after watching Sony's E3 conference, I came away disappointed in Destiny's alpha exclusivity. It seems there has been a huge push lately for Microsoft and Sony to get exclusive, downloadable content rights and the like. But it pains me that my decision to buy an Xbox One over a PS4 now limits my ability to play one of the next-gen games I'm most excited for in advance. Maybe that's just gamer entitlement talking. These are his words. My question for you is...
Man, I thought you were just like, shots fired.
David's throwing some jabs in.
My question for you is this. It makes sense to me that a publisher would side with one company over the other if it meant getting a cash incentive. But do you think this really impacts sales? Do gamers let this sort of thing, exclusive in-game content, sway their purchasing decision, or is it just something the big wigs do behind closed doors that negatively impacts consumers?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely impacts sales, or they wouldn't do it.
Well,
like, so I wonder. So Watch Dogs had 60 minutes of exclusive content on PlayStation.
Yeah,
I wonder. Do we know? Did it sell better on PlayStation?
I mean, I would imagine it sold better on PlayStation just by matter of fact that there's more PlayStations out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so weird with a lot of these games like Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed last year. Like, if a game is already 40, 50 hours long, I really don't care if there's an extra hour.
Another Damon, episode. You've been playing a lot of Watch Dogs, right? Yeah. How many hours in are you?
15.
15. Yeah. Me too. Right. Do you know if you've played those 60 minutes yet?
No, I don't know.
Because I have no idea. I'm like, something would have to pop up and be like, you're having fun, they're not having it right now. And I'm like, well, thank you. I didn't know that. I think this is like, I think it's pretty bad. And I think it's sort of like the opposite of where we should be going. Like, it makes no sense to me that these companies work so hard to get this parity across all platforms. And at the very end, they're like, okay, so everything's, it's 60 frames per second, it's 1080p on everything, we've gotten it, and you get an extra level. Like, whoa, wait, why? Yeah. Why? There's no reason for it.
It's always
and
like, that's money.
It's money, why. Yeah. But it turns into nothing but, like, fodder for fanboys and console wars and message boards, and I can go, well, you know, you don't have the Destiny Alpha, but I do. And it's like, well, I didn't I didn't do anything to not get that.
It reminds me of the pre-order bonuses from different retailers.
Yeah.
So you need a spreadsheet of like, okay, there's all these different pre-order bonuses that you get on different retailers, the Amazon version, the GameStop version, the Best Buy version. But then there's also different stuff on the PS4 and Xbox version of the game.
Yeah.
Like, or maybe it's not different. Maybe the Xbox just gets it a month later, and it becomes like almost impossible to keep it all straight.
It does make one yearn for the days when you just bought a game, and everyone got the same thing.
Yeah, and it's funny how sort of fickle it is as well, because you know, for the past few years, it's been Assassin's Creed on Sony consoles, gets the exclusive content. And now this year, it's like, whoa, Assassin's Creed was at the Microsoft conference.
Yeah.
And when there was hands-on, it was on Xbox. So,
that's what I was going to say, is this is usually a big package deal.
Sure.
You know, not to get too inside baseball, but it's not just the 60 minutes of exclusive content. It's the 60 minutes of exclusive content. It'll probably get the DLC maps a month early. And when the commercials are shown on television, it'll either show the Xbox or Sony logo at the end.
Yeah.
And that's usually all one big thing that they lump up and package together so that you associate you know, Assassin's Creed with one console or another, or Destiny with one console
It should be, just look at the games, especially if they're online, and look at, like, where are my friends going to play it?
Yep.
If they're going to play, 60 minutes isn't going to remove me from my friends. If my friends are playing Destiny on Xbox,
I think it's kind of a devious thing to do to people who are on the fence between
also,
consoles,
this game looks really
too.
Cool.
Yeah, it really does. Because say, for instance, you know, and they do this a lot with Assassin's Creed. They do it with Call of Duty the most, right? Where they're just sort of like, Xbox gets the new maps a month before PS4. So if I'm on the fence between a PS4 and an Xbox, I'm like, I have to spend $400 on one of these things, but this comes a month early. And $400 to a gamer is like buying a car to like a dad, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like saying, if I'm going to go out and spend all this money.
Right, Justin, Dad?
I don't even know. You're making a lot of strange analogies.
But if I'm going to go out and buy this big purchase item, like, am I doing it because it gets something 3 weeks earlier? Yeah. Like, you have a game console for years and years and years. Yeah. Like,
I do think, I agree with all you guys. I don't think this is healthy for the consumers. His original question was, does this make an impact? I think absolutely it does.
Yeah.
I think Sony and Microsoft have to work very, very, very hard to differentiate their consoles in the mind of the gamer. Like, it's a challenge.
But yeah, because the consoles are very similar now.
Oh, yeah, internally they're extremely similar. And so, software-wise, I mean, there's going to be less and less third-party exclusives going forward.
It's also,
and that's the thing, like, that's what I was going to point out, is this is, you know, this whole practice is unhealthy and kind of hostile to gamers, but it is better than how it used to be, where they would just outright pay for games.
But it makes perfect sense for the platform holder, for Microsoft and Sony, right? Like, they want to have as much exclusive stuff that you can't play anywhere
else.
Because
it's just the mind share. It's psychological, right? It's like the same way they got the GTA 5 next-gen trailer in the Sony conference and not the Microsoft conference. Because most people would just see those things and be like, it's coming to PS4, not Xbox One. And then they harp on the fact that, you know, we can bring your saves over from Xbox 360. Come on over. Leave your old friends behind. And it's, you know, at the end you watch the trailer and it's like, oh, it's coming to everything. It's fine.
Yeah.
What it used to be, though, was the game would only be on one console.
Yeah.
And now the game's on both consoles, but you're going to get a little bit of shit a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they've whittled it down to. That's the only thing, like, because it's so hard to make games and so expensive that they have to at every console. Like, look, no, we have to release our game on Xbox. Sorry, but we'll give you these dumb...
And this is not new either. This has been my whole life. Like, when I was growing up, you had Mario and you had Sonic, right? And you're like, well, those are exclusives to each platform.
And then there was no blood in Mortal Kombat
came out. And it was like, oh, you got the baby version. You had to put in a blood code. You have green blood. People don't have green blood. I'm like, well, people don't have spines you can rip out either.
Well, they do.
Technically. But they don't come back in the next round.
I think it's interesting that Call of Duty is really closely aligned with Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones that have that agreement in place. And Destiny is really closely aligned with PlayStation, and they're both Activision games. So it's like they're totally willing to just, you know, go wherever, you know, whoever hands them a bigger bag of
Bags. Yeah, like Big Daddy Activision above is like, oh, I don't care.
I also feel like this matters more at the beginning of a generation when a lot of people still, you know, either have zero or only one console.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in 2, 3, 4 years from now, when most hardcore gamers are going to have both consoles, it's going to matter less.
You're set in your ways by then. You know, you're like,
You're set in your ways by then, either kind of even more so or less. You just have them all.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, whatever. Yeah.
Now, you're mentioning all those games that we saw at E3 last week. A lot of them are 2015 games.
Yeah.
It seemed to be a preview of everything we're going to be playing next year. Adam here wonders if 2015 is shaping up to be one of the best years in gaming ever. Maybe another 2007.
Oh, that year's so good.
Right?
Yeah.
He says, hey, Damon and guests, Dan, Brian, and Colin, just guessing. One out of three. With E3 now concluded, do you think 2015 will be the biggest year in gaming ever? Thus far, the list of 2015 releases to name a few, includes Arkham Knight, The Witcher 3, Zelda Wii U, Uncharted 4, The Order 1886, Mighty No. 9, that's a weird one to throw in there, Bloodborne, Halo 5, Mortal Kombat X, Rise of Tomb Raider, The Division, Rainbow Six Siege, StarCraft, Legacy of the Void. There's more potentials like Mirror's Edge 2. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know, there's a lot coming next year.
There is, but it's kind of a big FU to 2014.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, honestly.
We're halfway through this year. We don't know even how the rest of this year is going to shape up. I know a lot of big things.
There's a lot in October.
In October.
There is, yeah.
Specifically.
October's yeah. I mean, insane.
There's also been some great stuff this year so far.
I mean,
so.
Plus, we've got Destiny, which is in September. We have Assassin's Creed, Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Then still
maybe
need to call
Far Cry 4.
You don't think that's a release
pushing
date.
It's like a December release. That always worries me.
I think it's November. I think it's like November 18th.
They were December last summer.
I would expect that game. That's going to be a 2015 game.
Why? You don't have any reason just because you said so?
Yeah.
It's really? Fatherly intuition.
Yeah. Yeah. As a father, I think Far Cry 4 is going to be delayed to 2015.
I think Far Cry 3 is going to be delayed to 2015. So 2015 looks incredible. The greatest year ever is always going to be 1998. With Ocarina of Time
that's
and Half-Life.
One, right?
Like, it's always going to be that year. But
as a grandfather.
Yeah, as a grandfather.
Wait, are each of these years 3 years after, like, the third year after the console came out? 2007 and 98 is at least 3 years after the PS1.
It's 3 years after
the N64. Is 2 years after Xbox
came out. So is that, like, the sweet spot, like, 2 to 3 years after a console drops?
Sort of.
I think the second holiday season, right? Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Because at launch, there's not much. Then
you get one
year,
holiday season
yeah,
this year.
People are starting to like ramp up, but then the second one you're like deep into it and you get all the really really
then everybody's got it figured out. They're like, yo, all that trash that came before, forget that.
Yeah, just kidding.
Now
Rise,
really
Rise was real good.
And there's also usually one game like for me, Gears of War, like the 360 had been out a while, but Gears was like the game that like that couldn't have existed on the OG Xbox.
Yeah.
Like that game felt new and fresh, and it takes a couple years for people to figure out like what's this gen's.
Yeah, we
thing
still haven't really
be.
Got that yet.
No, I don't think we have.
Titanfall did exist on 360. Infamous was gorgeous, but
yeah, and it's not taking anything away from those games. Those games are amazing, but they don't feel like they feel like prettier versions of like, you know, stuff that we've already seen.
Yeah, I don't think we have that yet this generation at all. I think there was a lot of pressure on Watch Dogs to be that.
Yeah.
And it's close in a lot of ways, but it's not like it's not like the futuristic GTA everyone thought it was. Yeah. The world where you could do everything.
You don't know what it's going to be till it's here.
Like, yeah.
It's hard to predict.
Anyway, 2015, looking really good.
It does look like a really dope.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's for all three consoles, especially Nintendo. I mean, everything was aside from Smash Brothers, pretty much everything I'm stoked for. Is
like, just hold on, on, Wii U. Yeah. I'm so on board now. I own one, the complete 180. Console's great.
I love every year that has video games in it.
Yeah,
I think they're all great.
It was the worst in the 50s.
Like the 1972. We were like, well, not yet.
The year after Pong came out, where it was like, oh, that was the only, there's no games this year.
And then it crashes, everything goes away, and they bury it all in a desert. Yeah. That's the worst. Yeah. We're fine now. Everything's great.
Yeah. you guys hear this week that Capcom is apparently open to buyout, open to being acquired.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about this? One of our fans, Adam, says, just a quick question. All right, time him. Since Capcom is now in a position to be taken control of via controlling stock.
Oh, this is terrifying.
I think I'm getting cold. My voice is lower than normal. So
like
I have a good, rise.
Oh. Wow. Quick, get him to do all the VO in the world. Capture it.
Do you think Microsoft would entertain the idea of snatching them up and making them a first-party studio? I know there are a ton of logistical issues impending such a task, but wouldn't such action deal a big blow to Sony and assist Microsoft in the Asian market?
So that's less logistical and more legal. I believe in Japan, outside companies cannot come in and buy another company.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I believe a Japanese company would have to come
World
in.
World facts with Marty Sleep.
Look at that.
So, well, I also think
I said international companies. I might be drunk and made that.
Japanese companies cannot be acquired by international companies?
Yes, I believe that's true.
Wow.
So I think it would have to be like Sony.
But I mean, even if that weren't true, why don't Sony or Nintendo make more sense?
Just because they're... They're also Japanese.
Yeah, I mean...
Especially, like, Nintendo and Capcom have been pretty closely aligned.
Yeah, but I don't think Nintendo has the... Like, that war chest is slowly diminishing, so I don't think...
They have many billions of dollars.
Yeah, but I think
just sitting in a bank
they have to write their own shit before they just...
It doesn't really seem like Nintendo's style.
Yeah. I mean, aside from Monster Hunter, which is huge on the 3DS. That's the thing about... Manhun. The thing about... Right now, Capcom's in this kind of weird state of flux where they have a lot of really incredible IP that are... I went back to IP. Yeah, it's the IP episode. They have a lot of incredible franchises that are sort of stagnant. I mean, between Resident Evil and, I mean, Street Fighter is getting a new Ultra 10. Like, we haven't seen Street Fighter 5 yet, though.
Yeah.
Mega Man's just being frozen in carbonite. Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know about how like how serious Capcom is about actually like seeking.
Yeah, the question is just sort of like
they've been investing in R&D and they've been hiring. They want to hire developers and add so many by the year 2022. So
yeah,
I mean, I like his suggestion about Microsoft too. It's like that's not gonna save the Xbox in Japan. Like if Capcom can't save itself in Japan, then the Xbox is not going to be saved by it.
If the next Monster Hunter is Xbox One like that's not going to do
it. I mean, that'd be such a big deal.
It would be a big deal, but I mean, it wouldn't be a big deal outside of Japan, which is a like very shrinking traditional games industry in that sense. You know?
It is, I mean, like it's always been Xbox's problem. Japan was their problem, but now it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was like, so what?
The Xbox One's launching there like in September, right? Yeah. It's still not out there.
Yeah, I mean, because Japan is Sony's problem right now, too. Yeah. It's also Nintendo's problem. I mean, Monster Hunter sold great on the 3DS. It sold like crap on the Wii U. Like, and hardware sales for Nintendo handhelds are lower than they were last time around in Japan.
I mean, the problem
is a dwindling market.
The problem is more of Capcom internal. Like, Capcom, when the last generation started, like when the 360 came out, they came out guns a-blazing with amazing games, with Dead Rising and Lost Planet and Street Fighter 4 and Resident Evil 5, which is still the highest-selling entry in the series. Like, and then after
that's absolutely a crime.
But then after that, they were like, what are we going to do? How about Dead Rising 2 and another Resident Evil and 10 more Street Fighters?
I thought 6 was the highest selling in this.
Then that is a travesty. That is a war crime.
Did Lost Planet 3
either way, it wasn't 4.
Lost Planet 3 came out.
It came out?
It was like late summer. Yeah,
I don't even remember that.
It was like a beard. It was like Nicolas Cage beard.
Yeah, it was beard guy.
Yeah.
I did the E3 demo for that.
Yeah, we know. We saw the box art for that game, and we said, this is going to come and go. No one will know this exists.
Did it get good reviews? I don't remember that game at all.
I think it got like 6s and 7s. Yeah. I think Dan reviewed it. Yeah.
Dude, there's like, if you go to GameStop once a year and you just actually walk through and it's like an elephant graveyard. You're like, wow, I don't remember any of these things even came out to begin with.
Capcom was one of those companies that tried to really spin up mobile game stuff too. Mm-hmm. And some did a better job than other. Like EA actually did a really good job, like the Smart Tetris on mobile and stuff like that. And Capcom put a lot of money into it and didn't do such a great job. Like Square Enix is a company that is doing mobile right, and it's paying off for them. They're making a lot of dough there now.
All the Bravest.
I think that comes down to...
Except for All the Bravest.
Yeah, a lot of that comes down to their games. Like, I mean, I've tried playing Mega Man on a mobile device. It doesn't work. I've tried playing Street Fighter on a mobile device. It doesn't work. I could play Final Fantasy on a mobile device because it's not as Twitch-based. Yeah. It's not like button combinations and a fake D-pad and stuff.
That's
like
true.
That.
So some of it's not even Capcom's fault.
Yeah.
They should do the...
They should have made different games back in the 80s.
They should do Mega Man Battle Network. Port those to the iPad.
Street Fighter the movie on iPad. I guess you can just buy that off iTunes.
The movie, the game.
Street Fighter the movie, the game.
I love Capcom. I grew up playing Capcom games. I hope that they find a home for their stuff. And if they're not using things like Mega Man, then I hope that a company like Nintendo or Sony comes in and picks them up.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be Microsoft because of the Japan thing, and because last time Microsoft bought a company I loved, Rare, nothing really good came from that, except for
Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Yeah,
I liked Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Well, I liked, I actually liked Nuts and Bolts. But
yeah, that was pretty good. Cool.
It's a divisive game.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Avatars, I guess.
Right.
Get out of here.
It's time for a new segment.
Woo!
Oh, God.
On GameScoop, yeah. We're going to play a game. Yeah. It's sort of a name that game. I'm going to recite to you the slogans of games, both...
Oh, this is awesome. Both, oh, my God.
Both recent both recent and ancient, and we'll see how many you can
guess. Ancient? Is it going to be like checkers?
Yeah.
Black versus red. Checkers.
I like that we have the Grand Theft Auto font.
Yep.
Is that
Well, it's the Price is Right font, which is also the GTA font.
Regardless, someone's suing us.
So an example would be of a recent game. This should be easy. Enjoy Your Power.
Infamous.
Yeah, Infamous Second Son.
Not good.
Really?
That was their slogan.
I thought that was cameo elements of Power.
Yeah, he like does this like jump up, wink to the camera, and slams down the ground. It's like, enjoy your power.
What?
Yeah. like their slogan in their commercials or like advertisements. Yeah.
That sounds like something somebody at a fast food restaurant would say.
Enjoy your power!
Sold power.
I get 7 burritos, enjoy your power!
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do.
Viewers, I'm going to start telling you.
Also, never get 7 burritos.
Viewers and listeners can play along at home. Let's see. I wonder where we should start.
This is terrifying.
I bet you don't get very many of these.
Good. Great. Okay,
don't hide. Resist.
Resistance.
Resistance.
Yeah. I want to start easy. I'm going to start easy.
Okay. I'm still thinking about that one. Yes, right, that's it. Wow.
We have some of these ads that we're going to pull up here. How about this one? Gear up.
Gears of War.
Nope.
I muffed up.
Now, it's not just, they're not necessarily going to include
you them. You lulled me into false sense of security with the resistance ones. Gear up.
Do we have the ad for this one? Gear up. Can we pull this up? Is Arancia dead?
Arancia's just gone. He's not
at work here anymore. What we were talking about before this.
We're working on it.
Metal Arms glitch in the system.
Ooh.
No, it was the original Metal Gear.
The original.
Wow.
Gear up. And then they listed all the items. That was the big deal. There's so many items and weapons in the game. So like everything was like laid out.
I thought you said it wasn't always going to have like the game title.
You double tricked.
Wow. That was... Nah.
Like the original Metal Gear or the original Metal Gear Solid?
Metal Gear.
Wow. On NES. Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Metal Gear.
So it's a gear up and then all the items around. We had this image. I'm disappointed.
Aransky's a jerk.
B-roll X.
That's what happens when you're dead.
Yeah. We put up the picture of Aransky in the unemployment line. I'm just kidding. I love you.
We don't see any
Metal Gear.
Okay.
I love the idea of this like voice of God every once in a while just chiming in.
Okay, how about this? Everything else is child's play.
Oh, I know this one.
Was it Sega? Or like, it was a console.
I think it was for the Game Gear. Was it the tagline for the Game Gear?
No, it was hardware though.
Sega CD, 32X, PlayStation.
It had to be, yeah.
PlayStation 2, PlayStation
Nomad. Is it somebody making fun of Nintendo, Kelly?
Probably. Everything else is child's play. It's like the 3DO. Have any of us said it yet?
Atari Lynx.
No.
The Jaguar.
It was the Power Glove.
Oh! Everything else is child. There he is.
Wow.
What are you, that guy's doing now?
I like how it's a child wearing the glove.
Yeah.
But everything else is child's play.
Yeah. Wasn't that guy in the news a couple years ago?
That guy who played that guy
in the movie The Rock.
Look it up. It's very. I don't want to bring this podcast down. He did something very bad.
Okay. All right. We need to go there.
How bad?
Pretty bad.
Okay.
He's in jail. Bad.
Okay.
All right, how about this one? You'll need skill, endurance, and a reliable blowhole.
Echo the Dolphin.
But which one?
Two.
One.
No.
Three?
I don't know. What difference is it?
Wait, was it that remake, like the 3D one?
If we got Echo the Dolphin, I think that should be enough.
Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future.
Okay.
Oh, the 3D one, yeah.
So, oh, is that the remake for Dreamcast?
Was it just a 3D sequel.
I want a new Seaman.
You don't really want a new Seaman.
Yeah, do I want?
Everyone wants the idea of the 3DS.
Wasn't there Seaman? And I can talk
two,
to him.
Wasn't that a thing, or is that never come? I don't remember.
There's been a lot of Seaman talk today.
Whenever I see a Dreamcast logo, I think about Seaman.
Yeah. All right. How about this one?
Clip that one out.
How about this one? You'll be forever busting bubbles.
Bubble bobble.
Nope.
Well,
Buster Bros.
Nope.
Busting.
Your original
guess
was close, yes.
Bust a move?
Yes, but there's a hint in the title. Which bust a move is it?
Forever.
I'll say it one more time. You'll be forever busting.
Look at those guys. Just hanging out. Those guys are buds.
They're Bub and Bob.
Bub and
right?
Bob, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I think sometimes they appear as Bib and Bob, but yeah.
Bib and Bob?
Yeah.
Is that like Bimmy and Jimmy?
Bimmy and Jimmy Lee.
Bimmy and Jimmy.
Those guys are weird because Bubble Bobble was about them saving their girlfriends.
Actually, yeah.
Which they did. And then they're like, you want to just keep hanging out?
I know.
Break bubbles and stuff like that. A couple more games.
I like it. I actually like Buster Move 4, Puzzle Bubble 4, I like a lot.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Why is 4 the good? Why is that better?
It got crazier and they added different items. So some purists don't appreciate it as much, but I like it. I like the crazy.
Sure.
How about this one? This one you won't ever guess. if you wish hard enough, good things will happen.
Little Nemo and the Dream Masters.
If you wish hard enough, good things will happen.
Pandemonium on the Sega Saturn.
Do you have a console?
Super Nintendo.
Bubsy 2.
Wishmaster? Age Master?
It doesn't make any sense. Tecmo Super Baseball.
He's in his house. I sure wish someone would make a real baseball game.
And then it's coming in the ball.
Is that baseball just going to hit him in the fucking head?
Yeah.
It's going to shatter the window.
Yeah, that's a huge window in his front.
It's got real players, yeah.
So here's what happened there. They tried to do the Field of Dreams tagline.
if you build it, they will come. Yeah, and then they got sued.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, what's the thing?
If you wish hard enough.
Yeah. Good things will probably happen. Yeah.
So who's hitting that baseball?
Yeah, I know. It's his some
of guy. All the wishes.
You would have.
I wish someone would make a real baseball.
What about
game?
A realistic baseball simulator for the Super Nintendo? What about Infinite Money? No. Nope. I don't need any of that.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a Tecmo Super Baseball.
I didn't know either.
It does not roll off the tongue.
We could have been in this room for the rest of our lives. We know.
David, just let us leave.
Oh, get it
warmer. We go into the booth and Ransky's a skeleton.
Okay, two more. How about this? You'll know what series this falls in, but which one is it? Become a Jedi Master without ever leaving home.
Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast.
Connect Star Wars.
Masters of Terras Kasi.
You're on the right track.
Super Star Wars on the Super Nintendo.
Star Wars Galaxies.
No. It has Jedi in the title.
Jedi Outcast?
It's not Jedi Knight.
Mm. Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Is there a Jedi Academy?
Yeah.
That's really close. Star Wars Jedi Arena on the 2600.
Not a real thing.
What the hell?
Man, you keep doing deep cuts.
What I like.
Wait, is he the guy who hit the baseball? that's just the reverse shot of the last one. That's the baseball in the background.
But the little laser shooting thing where he pulls his mask down.
Wait, is this a video game? Why does it say Parker Brothers?
I want to point out something, by the way.
Home video game.
To get this game back in the day, you had to leave home once.
What I like about this slogan, become a Jedi Master without ever leaving home, implies there are other ways of becoming a Jedi Master. But those ways require you to get off the couch
and also,
leave your house.
I don't look, spoilers for a movie from 77, but in order for Luke to become a Jedi Master, he had to leave his home because his uncle and aunt were burnt to death.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
That part was really sad when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was like, when they see their burnt bodies, no.
They should have just taken that out during the special edition.
Like
they should just be like, bye, Luke! They're like waving at him in the background.
Don't turn around, no!
Okay.
If you want to be a Jedi Master, the first thing you should be able to do is get off the couch.
All right, last one.
Why are you doing such deep cuts?
I like them. I like
them. When I started researching, one of the best ones were older ones. Here we go. Size does matter.
Oh, wait, I know this.
I know this one, too.
Game Boy Pocket.
Is it hardware?
This is not hardware.
I remember. I know.
Was it one of the Fear Effect games?
What's that?
Was it one of the Fear Effect games?
No.
Ratchet & Clank?
No.
Geist?
No. You guys are actually way off, and you actually don't know it, even though you think know it.
without a doubt that you don't know it.
Unless you're a big fan of Pro Fishing Challenge.
Okay, yeah, I didn't.
She looks so confused.
Size doesn't matter. Who's this quote from?
What?
One of the most complex fishing games to date. I created.
To be fair, to that date, there was only two fishing games.
What happened?
Can we Google and see whose quote that is?
Wow, I didn't Google
that
it.
That is incredible.
And I don't even know. I guess it's an original Xbox game. Wow. Pro Fishing Challenge. She's really surprised with how big the bass is that she's got. And the bass... She didn't even catch it.
That's the crazy thing. Is the bass just jumping out of the water right now in hopes of getting the thing.
Yeah, it's not even in the bath.
This may sound crass of me, but she has a moderately sized figure.
Yeah, you're saying size.
So,
matter,
I mean, maybe
size doesn't matter.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't matter so much. Okay?
True.
Some of us.
Wow, you're right. I did not know that.
I know you're from Iowa. You like to hunt, so maybe you did play Pro Fishing Challenge.
Well, I played a lot of trophy buck hunting back in the day.
Sure.
All right, well, that about wraps up. We need a good name for this. Name that game. There's probably a better name we can come up with for that segment.
Damon's House of Trickery.
Lie Scoop.
We're going to close out with another game. We're going to revisit the Game Scoop ratings board. Brian, were you here for the last one?
Maybe I was. It all melts together.
This is where I read the ESRB's description of the mature content in upcoming.
It goes for everything.
Rated M for mature games.
Thanks, Sarah Zapp.
So these are either recently released or upcoming games, and let's see if by reading the content you can identify the game.
This is awesome. Witcher 3. That's my guess.
Here we go. This
Wolfenstein.
This is an action role-playing game in which players assume control of a mortal hero who must defend humanity from a demonic invasion. From a three-quarters overhead perspective, players traverse dungeons and caverns and use swords, axes, flails, and magic attacks to kill a variety of human-like enemies.
The Witcher?
Battles are accompanied by slashing and flesh impact sounds, screams of pain, and frequent blood splatter effects. Creatures often explode into bloody fragments as multiple enemies are dispatched at once.
Lord of the Rings?
You guys don't really know this one yet?
Tecmo Super Baseball.
Some levels depict burning corpses, bodies impaled on stakes, piles of limbs, and dead villagers amid large pools of blood.
Dragon Age? Dark Souls?
During the course of the game, a succubus creature is depicted topless.
Okay,
Castlevania. No.
Wait, you said it's coming up.
Yeah, you said it was...
From a three-quarters overhead perspective, it should have been the key.
That's what's throwing me off, though.
Diablo. Diablo 3.
Yes!
Ultimate Evil Edition. Oh.
But didn't it say defend the Earth? Or did I totally just make that up?
No, you must defend humanity.
What did they say? Flesh slashing sounds?
Yeah, there's...
Flesh impact sounds.
Yeah.
What the...
Slashing and flesh impact sounds.
Oh, that's gross. Yeah. I thought it was Transistor at first when you said the top-down three-fourths thing.
Yeah.
But then you started talking about hell demons. I was like, nope, I didn't get to that level.
All right, this is our next game. This one, a game I'm not actually very familiar with, although I have heard of it. This is an action game in which players assume the role of heroes on a quest to defeat an evil empire. From a three-quarters overhead perspective, players traverse various landscapes and use swords, spears, axes, and magic attacks to kill human soldiers and fantastical creatures. Melee-style combat is accompanied by weapon slashes, cries of pain, and large blood splatter effects.
Damien, you're reading the exact same one over again.
Some areas in the game contain large red streaks and pools of blood around human corpses. A still image cutscene depicts a defenseless man stabbed with a spear as a splatter of blood shoots out.
Smite?
During the course of the game...
Wait, the Tomb Raider game? You know that one.
Some female characters wear outfits that reveal large amounts of cleavage. Okay. The dialogue includes some suggestive sexual material, such as, "I'd like to go deep inside your keep."
Whoa, that's very suggestive.
"I'd rather be Randy than Rancid," and... "I want to slip through more than the forest, if you know what I mean."
Christ almighty.
Wait, hold on, that's not suggestive.
That's just literal.
That's hitting the nail on the head.
I don't know. It's what none of those games we mentioned before?
Sacred 3.
Oh.
I've never played the Sacred games.
But I mean, that is a video? This seems like a video
just
game?
Like Diablo?
Yeah, it's a Diablo clone.
Yeah, it seems like Diablo and Gauntlet.
I played a lot of
baby that I'm not going to play.
Apparently pickup lines are not sacred in the Sacred games.
Yeah. Sacred, I didn't know they were making that. Sacred 2 was great.
Yeah,
Justin's excited.
Yeah, I mean, if
I want to climb your mountains.
I know, right?
Tits.
That's the last line of the game, actually. You beat the just tits. Are the ESRB still here? Okay, tits.
All right, this is the last one. This is a multiplayer online role-playing game in which players assume the role of a warrior in the fantastical world of Nern. I hope that's how it's pronounced.
Nern?
Nern?
No.
As players explore open-world environments, they can perform various quests and complete tasks. Characters use swords, arrows, axes, and magic attacks to kill human-like and fantastical enemies. Players engage in melee-style combat, hacking and slashing at various enemies. Battles are highlighted by cries of pain, impact sounds, and blood splashes. Some sequences depict large amounts of blood streaming up close as vampires attack and feed on characters. In some quests, players have the ability to mount creatures' severed heads onto spikes.
Does this game have the word hunt in the title?
Some environments
depict corpse piles or skeletons hanging from torture devices. Text descriptions or dialogue sometimes contain references to sexual material and or innuendo, such as, "She raped the men as cruelly as Bal had ravished her."
Not an innuendo.
That's not innuendo.
Incredibly literal.
These guys don't know what innuendo means.
How about this one? "In his mind, she would be the sheath to every knight's blade."
Wow.
Or, "No sweet meat for you." or the line, "But it is huge. It could take me all night." During the course of the game, alcohol can be purchased and consumed by the central character. One sequence prompts players to engage in a drinking contest, resulting in the central character's blurred vision and slurred speech.
Watch Dogs.
No.
Elder Scrolls Online.
That is Elder Scrolls Online.
Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah. Nern. You get that one.
I didn't know they were the severed... Yeah, I guess
the World of Nern. Also, I think this segment just proved that all video games are the same.
Yeah.
Please make something else.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Man, if you... When just hearing games described like that makes all games sound really bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like it's incredibly reductive. You can take some of the most... like, brilliant worlds ever built and just reduce it down to, like,
tall towers that look like tits sometimes shoot blood.
The Last of Us.
Yeah, that's true. I like that segment. That's good. One of my favorite new segments of GameSoup. Before we go, what are we going to be playing this weekend? I just got Shovel Knight.
Ooh. Me too.
And I just started playing that too, so I'm going to be diving into that for sure.
Yeah, I think all of us are. I'm still trying to finish up Wolfenstein. Taking my sweet time after E3 on that.
I like the game.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot more than I thought I would. There's a little bit of a lull. It's a nice couple weeks for us to go back and play catch up before the insanity of the fall.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, the 2015 thing, actually. Yeah. Because I think there's
plenty to play right now.
Yeah, I'm in no shortage of video games to play right now.
Yeah.
I can finally play video games again. So that's nice.
Does baby just sleep or like?
I can just. Sleep? I mean, I just managed to steal maybe an hour in the evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Wii U is actually perfect for that. Everyone always says, the joke everybody always makes is that I'm going to do nothing but play handheld games because that's all, you just flip it open and play around a Mario Golf and flip it closed. But the Wii U, I'm playing Pikmin and I'm playing NES Remix. Mm-hmm. And those games really fit into like a new daddy lifestyle. So I'm all
new
about
daddy.
The Wii.
New daddy.
Yeah.
All new about the Wii U lifestyle. Right now.
Nude daddy.
Mario Kart, yep. 2D Mario, 3D Mario, NES Remix. Pikmin, Wonderful 101, console's great.
Yeah. I like my Wii U.
Yeah,
me too. And you're playing nothing but Hearthstone.
Well, yeah, that's the, yeah. There's other games I plan on playing, but at the end of the day, I'm just going to play Hearthstone, probably.
Do you guys play Pushmo?
No, yeah. I haven't played Pushmo.
Yeah. I played it on the DS.
I'm excited to play Pushmo World.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's an MMO, right?
Another one of those, like,
World
perfect
World of Pushmo?
World of Pushmo, yeah. There's so many abandoned babies in Pushmo. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's
like every level ends with you finding an abandoned baby, and I don't know what you do with it. Do you have to like take care of all 12,000 abandoned babies?
You run an orphanage.
Yeah, you give them to White Walkers.
It is a weird premise. Like, why can't it just be like candy at the top? Why does it have to be babies?
Sure.
That's strange.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Brian. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Hold on. And we're out.
We out.
Yeah.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.